The following is an interview with Leo M. Bernstein under the auspices of the Jewish Historical Society. It is being conducted by Stella Bernstein on Monday, March 30th, 1981 at 10:45 a.m. at his offices at the Diplomat National Bank at 2033 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. For historical purposes, I might add that we are not related. Thank you. What is your full name?
Leo M. Bernstein.
And the M stands for what?
Macy. We're from the Macy family. In fact, I believe that they are part of our family. My grandmother was Macy. My brother's name is Macy Missel. My cousin's name is Macy Carmel down in Hampton and Phoebus, Virginia. And somewhere along the line, I heard that story.
Who were you named after, basically, the Leo part?
The Leo part, I'm named after an uncle that lived in Lithuania, Kovnov Guberna, Ponavez. Mezotik. I can't find that on the map, but I'm told the little village was Mezotik, outside of Ponavez, in Kovnov Guberna, Lithuania.
Where and when were you born?
I was born in the District of Columbia, March the 7th, 1915.
What was your father's name?
Benjamin. Benjamin Bernstein.
What was your mother's maiden name?
Kravitz.
And her first name?
Celia.
Do you shared a little bit about your brothers. What were their names, brothers and sisters that you had?
My sister, the oldest, was Miriam Bernstein. And my brother's name is Macy Missel, Mormon, M-O-R-M-A-N. However, he calls himself Norman, Norman Bernstein.
Where were your parents from originally?
My father came at the age of 12, having been bar mitzvahed, as they did in those days when a young Jewish boy was leaving for the New World. He came here from Kovnov Guberna, Ponavez, 3 years after his father had arrived, 3 or 4 years after the father, who came here first to make enough money to send for the tickets.
What was his? What was your grandfather's name?
Hyman Bernstein.
Did they come to Washington or some other area?
They came to Washington direct. I'm told my father walked when he got off the boat from New York to Washington.
What was the drawing card to Washington? His father was here already?
There was a family here that were first cousins to my grandfather, the Uta Levitt family. And they probably had gotten here a year or two earlier. And they were highly religious people, very well educated. My grandfather Hyman, as I understand it, wrote and spoke 5 languages before he came to America. I heard the story is that every Jew had one son, ostensibly for the purposes of the Tsar's army. And I'm not so sure if our name really wasn't Uta Levitt, but each son apprenticed himself to another relative so he could be an only son and not go in the army at that time, not go in the Tsar's army. And he got the blue ballot or whatever. I understand he drew a blue ball or something and didn't have to go in the army, so he was sent to the yeshiva. And when they were religious in those days, and I think they came here about 1884 or 5, Hyman Bernstein came first, and he became a kosher. He had a kosher butcher shop because there weren't very many of the Russian Jews that were here at that time, maybe 10 or 15 or 20. And they were members of...
What time period would this be? About what year?
About 1885, 1886.
And where was it located, do you know?
On 816 4½ Street.
Famous area.
The reason I know that is later he had the shop on D Street, but eventually to 816 6th Street Northwest, which I have a picture of, which I'll show you outside, when he bought that property in 1909. And the contract is here. I'll show it to you. We're keeping it in our own little museum.
What did he call it? After his own name? Or
I think so. Hyman Bernstein.
Do they live on top of the store?
Yes, they lived on top of the store at 816 6th. That's the one I remember as a boy. I was shown the one at 816 4½ Street by my father. And my father later originated the Army and Navy store centers in Washington, and eventually from that area of the 600 block of D Street Northwest to the 700 block to the 800 block to the 900 block at 937D, he turned that over to Max Zweig, who's in the District of Columbia with his sons, who's now his sons run the kinetic con camera business, and he finally ended up buying the Hutchins building at 10th and D, where the FBI now stands. It's a large building at the end of a 99-year lease from Stilson Hutchins, who was the editor of the Post, the owner of the Washington Post. And the first movie was shown there in Washington for 5 cents. And my father bought the building at the end of the 99-year lease with his brother Samuel. And they ran Bernstein Brothers there for many years, finally closing it in 1929 when he retired. And who bought that? I know the man that bought it. I'll think of that.
You just reflected.
Yeah, I just
referred.
The name was Millstone. Bought that property at the conclusion of the retirement, and kept it for many years. And Al Fogel was brought to Washington as a clerk by my father. He came from Hopewell, Virginia. And he's the brother. Later, they opened the store. They had been in the tire business. They reopened the store, and he became known as Fogel's. And Al Fogel brought his brother, who's two brothers up, Irving Fogel, who had Irving's at 10th and E, and a doctor. A young man, one of the young brothers, became a doctor. I think he's a doctor here in the District of Columbia today. So the family had much to do with the origins of many of the local business people in those days.
Where did you first live when you were born?
I was born on 7th Street between G and H. And I had the occasion, by the way, last month, to be invited to a Chinese restaurant across the street. And I remarked to them that I had something to do with the Chinese community in this respect. First, I was born across the street from that dining room that we were eating in. I had the fortune, good fortune, of bringing Chinatown from the 2nd block of Pennsylvania Avenue as I entered real estate in 1933, in 1936. With A.T. Contella, we moved the first Chinese to 610 H Street Northwest, the Guy Sum restaurant. That was the first one to move to Chinatown, and later they all emanated from the 200 block of Pennsylvania Avenue when the government bought the property, and we started Chinatown. So I told them that story, and that was very interesting.
What is your first recollection of the neighborhood? When you were 2 or 3?
I moved from that neighborhood at the age of 2 to the first property that Kafritz built, Morris Kafritz. And he built a row of houses in the 100 block of Rock Creek Church Road, which was the end of Washington.
Right.
The woods remained at, behind us and on the north of us. And my first recollection was living there, 103 Rock Creek Church Road. But I saw, I had the good fortune of, and I think I can, I have a photograph of it, of looking at the property that I was born in. But we only stayed there. After 2 years, they moved. to 103 Rockford Church Road, which was a corner house. Mm-hmm. And I lived there until I was married at the age of 21.
What was the first school that you attended?
Parkview School, which was at the bottom of the hill, 10 blocks away. We walked down every morning, and my father picked us up for lunch every day because he worked and he couldn't be home for dinner. He ran that Bernstein Brothers. So he would pick up my sister and myself, and later my brother, and we were brought home for our main meal at lunchtime every day. And then he would let me eventually guide the car back, and that's how I learned to drive a car when I was 14 years of age.
Was that school to the sixth grade?
That school was the only school in Washington that was unique in that it went to the eighth grade. It was a special school, and they were experimental school. From there, I went to Central High School as a freshman, and I went to school there 4 years at Central High School.
Getting back to Park, were there any particular incidents that you remember during those school years that stood out, or any particular?
Well, the first thing I remember is when I moved to 103 Rockery Church Road. In the next block, I had my first experience, I guess, with the Christian community, because we were very parochial in those days. I can remember that we would take a streetcar. I do remember taking a streetcar from 7th and E to 7th and O to go to the two or three kosher delicatessens and food markets that were there then, Footers and two others that I don't recall the name of. Right, it's on 7th Street. Everybody went there Saturday night. I remember taking the streetcar to go. When I finally got to 103 Rock Creek Church Road at the age of 4, my first friend was Donald Pollock, whose father was a dentist. And I used to go to their home, and our home was completely kosher, but in those days I'd go to their home and I saw another way of life, more or less, that I had never really seen before. And, my first experience then at school was kindergarten. It started at kindergarten at Parkview School. What was your last question?
Wanting you to reflect on any activities or anything that happened in those first 8 years at school that perhaps remained in your memory. Were there many Jewish children attending the school then? Were you in the minority?
That happened to be, we were in the minority, but there were quite a few Jewish children because at that time there were covenants on the properties and Jewish people could not live in many neighborhoods. Their main street was Princeton Place, which was a block from the school. So it was a school that many of the local Jewish families lived near and attended.
Were there any teachers there that stood out in your memory as being an influence on perhaps some area that they instructed you?
Not necessarily. I didn't get anything particularly out of that school other than...
Before we get back to...
They allowed me to... I remember this... I must have been a leader in those days because I remember that several of the teachers allowed me to dismiss the class one by one. I had
the option
to dismiss the class.
Very important in those days. Before we move on to Central, while you were still at the age that we're reflecting on, did you go in to help your father at all in the store?
Father was then about ready to retire. Let's see, what year is this? I was born in 15. So at the age of 1920 to 29, I was in the school. He was just about ready to retire. I did go to the store. When I was 9, 10, 11, and 12, I would go down to the store to just look around. And I saw him operate that store. I saw Al Fogel come there as a clerk and make improvements. At that time, the market, the city market, was across the street on Pennsylvania Avenue between 6th and 9th. And I saw the parades of the inaugural parades that took place.
Which was the first
along
one you remember?
Pennsylvania Avenue. I guess Hoover was the first one that I could remember. And I saw the people come down. I saw the concession stands set up to sell the souvenirs. I saw my father sell the sporting goods. I remember my father had a buy and sell license there, but he would not handle guns. It was against his principle. It was a very early thought of mine that a man, even if he could make money and everyone needed it, he would not handle guns. Max Swag, my uncle, at 937 D Street, the father of Melvin, Oscar, Samuel, and Benson, who are here in Washington, who are very lovely boys, have lovely families, and two became scientists, and one helped the atomic bomb program. One was a bombardier, was shot down in the war. But I remember that they sold the gun. I remember Atlas Sports Center was there in the middle of the block, and I remember the Atlas family very well.
To reflect a moment on your father's store, what do you remember about the physical structure of the building as well as the interior structure?
Well, it was a building that was then 99 years of age when my father bought it. And it was a building that looks like the schools now. It was built of brick. It looked like the Franklin School at 13th and K Street, which is still standing. I remember that he had tenants. It was a rather large building. It was a building that today would be worth millions of dollars. And he sold it, I think, for he paid $150,000 for it in those days, with maybe $25,000 down. I remember it as a building with long halls and small offices, sign painters, barbers, stores along up and down D and going up 10th. Next door was the Washington Gaslight Company, and many of his customers were gaslight people. One of them, he got as a teacher for me to play the saxophone, and I took saxophone lessons from one of them. I remember that. Didn't do too well. I never learned to play it properly.
He had other attributes.
Yeah. And
did he have many people working for him?
Yes, he had a very good store, and they were very profitable. And he invested in real estate. That's how the family, I think, got connected. My grandfather had bought 816 6th Street, Northwest, and my father, as he made a few dollars, invested in small properties and eventually retired and collected the rentals himself. I remember going to court and landlord and tenant as a boy of 9, 10, and 11. In those days, one did not use an attorney. And I got a background on a rental agreement and collecting of rents, and I guess that's what started me eventually into a career as I went to law school at 9.
Did your father encourage your brother and sister to participate too?
Well, my brother is 6 years older, younger. And he was a child then, Norman, when he came to work for me when he was 11, 12 years of age. Can you believe that? As a rent clerk. And my sister was just very helpful. She's had since has passed away, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. She's a lovely woman that was very helpful. She worked without pay anytime I needed her to do anything for me as a secretary. So you don't find many that are so dedicated.
Did your mother help in the store at all?
My mother was simply a house lady.
I'm sure she did it very well, though.
And I used to see that house on Fridays. That house used to shine and smell like flowers. And I remember that way back.
Going back to school days, you attended Central High, which is a very famous high school.
Yes, I joined the high school cadets. That was a big thing then in those days.
What other things did you pursue in Central?
Well, I was in the drama society, and I played with Gene Creston and Joe Danzansky in A Midsummer Night's Dream. And
heard a lot about that.
And I was active in the high school cadets. I was the battalion adjutant, and I wore my officer's uniform with a sword, you know, and I was the president of the ADO, only Jewish recognized fraternity. In those days, they had to have a participant from one of the teaching staff to observe the meetings because they were outlawed, but we had the only legitimate Jewish fraternity, and I was president of that with many of my present friends, Milton Goldman, Dr. Goldman, and Dr. Sam Dove, and Dr. Lewis Ross, Walter Podrog.
Did you experience any anti-Semitism during your years at Central?
I was in a fairly unique position and quite accepted by many of my contemporaries. Everything was strictly, and when I hit high school, when we got to high school, that beautiful dream, which I never experienced anything of anti-Semitism at Parkview, came to naught as I entered Central High School, where everything was immediately Jewish-Christian, fraternities, sororities. It was just that way. I was the leader of the Jewish group when, as the president of the only Jewish fraternity. So, and
what were some of the activities that your fraternity, which by the name was what?
Alpha Delta Omega. It was a chapter of a Baltimore group. We were two cities.
What were some of the
activities? We were a unique fraternity. We didn't gamble, and we didn't play cards, and we didn't drink.
You were unique.
We liked girls. We were a group
that
went to Baltimore. We went to Baltimore for our girls, by the way.
That was
I later married a Baltimore girl.
Quite popular, I understand, doing it.
All the boys here went to Baltimore.
And the Baltimore
boys came. Well, they came a little bit. Not much. No, Baltimore was the place.
What were some of the things, though, that you're
fraternity? My mother came from Baltimore, by the way. Her family had come from Vilna.
Vilna,
Lithuania, to Baltimore. They were musicians, and one was a concert musician with a cello, and the one piccolo with the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. And the other one played all the grandfather played all the Jewish weddings. He was a violinist, 6 foot two, very handsome man.
Did your mother have any musical?
No, my mother, but one father.
He was just a violinist.
Her brother. Had sons that became famous running the Belvedere, the orchestra at the Belvedere, Larry London, he called himself, he had a stage name. So we were getting back to Central High School, what did I find?
We were discussing, what were some of the activities that your fraternity did? Did they work for charities? Did they just have fun?
Well, they all helped one another to enter colleges, and in those days, the most fathers and grandfathers had been in the grocery business, I guess, or merchants. Started as peddlers, you know the background in those days, and that was the age that most sons went and got an education. That was the dream of every Jewish father and mother, and became the lawyers and the doctors. I came off a little bit different, and I'll explain that in a minute. The fraternity was just a group of very fine young men. They were good boys, and most of them became celebrated in their own right in this city later on as doctors and lawyers. Sam Mormon became the general counsel to the Waterman Steamship Company. He was one of them. Sam Friedman became an attorney at law and became very famous. Unfortunately, he passed away. And others. We can maybe go into that group someday if that's necessary for this. I got a break at Central High School. None of us had too much money. I worked at the age of 16 for Monk's Drugstore. And I made $2.
Who owned Monk's?
Monk's Drugstore was a drugstore in the 200 block of what was the name of that street? He was on Georgia Avenue and Kennedy. And I got the job by walking. In those days, there were no jobs at 16. Couldn't get a job. There were no jobs for boys. I remember starting at the Volpark on Florida Avenue and 7th. And walking, that's the 1500 block, I guess. And I walked to 5501 Georgia Avenue. That was the address of it. That was months before. And went in every store and asked them could they use a boy. And didn't get it until I got to 5501 from 1500 block. Mm-hmm. And got that job, and he paid $2, 8:30 in the morning, 8 in the morning till 11 at night.
Do you remember his name?
George Monk.
George.
He wasn't Jewish.
Uh-huh.
And
you worked at stock, you just did everything. Clean.
Delivery, messenger, ice creams. I was one of the few that didn't take anything as they delivered. I didn't take the chewing gum, but the others did. Anyway, that was part of it. And at the age of 17, I got, I was asked if I would want a scholarship to Columbus Law School. The Catholic, later it became Catholic University, Columbus School of Law. And I got a scholarship after high school, went right into law school at night, and saw my father had a vacant store. He had a piece of real estate at 718 Fifth Street. It had been vacant 2 years. We'd been coming out of the Depression then. Things were very bad. It was a tailor shop, closed down, 718 Fifth between G and H. Very poor neighborhood of Washington, near the courts down there now. And St. Mary's Church was across the street that had, I had something to do with something there. Later on, I'll tell you about it. You know, this could go on for hours, couldn't it? Maybe we'll never finish this today. We'll meet again sometime. And anyway.
You're very articulate, and you have a good memory. So
I handled business. I knew that Jack Diener was one of my members there at the, you know Jack? And his father had a cleaning store on 1820 First Street. And his brother, Daniel Diener, was the oldest one, who later came to work for me. And his other brother, Mickey, ran a rug cleaning business on 22nd Street. That's now Blackie's, and now the Marriott Hotel. They had a little property there. He came down and he bought the pressing machine and took it out personally, Mickey Diener, and gave me $35 for it. My father gave me free rent and later gave me the little building. It was worth about $3,500 to $5,000. And that was my start. Eventually, I put a little mortgage on it, and that's where the little bit of money came from that we started with. And I told my father as I left the high school that he had that vacant store, and I wanted to run an office. I said, I want to open an office, and I'll handle real estate and coal, which I later did for Griffith Consumers at 50 cents a ton commission. But I had seen an ad in the paper called the Free Rental Agency. In those days, half of Washington was empty. All the apartments were empty. You know, there were no people here. The rent was $45 a month in an average two-room kitchen and bath. And there was a building on New Hampshire Avenue next to where Arnold and Porter have just built their new building that was half empty. It was called the Bond Apartments. And I brought the business of the Free Rental Agency in those days was to Roosevelt was just coming in with his New Deal. And as people got off the train, we would get half the first month's rent for bringing them tenants. So we filled up those buildings as the people, that was the business. And they wanted to sell me the business for $800. And I said to the man, you have nothing for sale. I'll just open my own. And that's when I told my father, let me put the store. So I have the bills. I actually have the bills and a scrapbook on how we opened that first real estate office. And I called it Leo M. Bernstein and Company.
Marley.
And later changed it, isn't this ironical, to the Washington Realty Company. I owned that name, Washington. And here today, I'm told that we applied for a name of the change of this bank, and we were just given permission. I heard it over the phone Friday. Today in the mail, I should get a letter that we can now call this bank Washington Bank, N.A.
Returning to your university days, what were they like?
They were most unusual. We went to school. Columbus University was located on 18th Street above Connecticut Avenue, above M. And I remember Dean Fitzpatrick interviewing me as I entered the university, and he said, "Leo, I don't know how you got this scholarship, but I guarantee you that if you stay here, you will earn it." And he said, "We've got two or three other Jewish boys." This was a Catholic university. Knights of Columbus really sponsored it. And one was they had a boxing team. And we had a Jewish boy there that was the head of the boxing team. He got a scholarship. And I was very fortunate. We went 5 days a week from 5:30 till about 11 at night.